Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Oh, if I got news, if I got information, please stay tuned. This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Tuesday, May 10th, 2022. I'm Doug Hagman, your host. Thanks so much for your belief and trust in this platform. A number of things to get into. You know, it seems like every day that there's a new thing, right? New headline, new thing to look at. Hey, look at the shiny trinket here or there. But let's take a step back and let's look at everything. We can do more than one thing at a time. One of the first things I want to just touch upon, of course, goes back to the Supreme Court and the leak therein. And again, in my own opinion, investigative opinion, based on my research, given the fact that there are nine justices and about probably a suspect pool of maybe three dozen, maybe. Let me just do the math here. Carry the one. About three dozen suspects, interns, paid and otherwise. I've narrowed it down to two: one male, one female, and I'll just leave it at that. And I think they're both clerk for Sotomayor. Why is that important? Because of the timing, and because of the disrespect and the ideological, what would you call it? The ideological bent on this, and how the media is handling this versus other leaks. But that's really not. I mean, that's the important part. But then you've got the moral decay part. I want to show you this from MSNBC. This is only 40 some seconds of just, again, moral decay. This is where the mindset of the satanic and demonic globalist left, this is where they're at. In case you missed it, and I'm sure you did, because their viewership is about, 16, 18 people? I don't know. Watch this. This MSNBC guest, I'm not even going to read it. Just listen to what she says and watch what she does here. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, I mean, here's the thing. Here's my feeling about the leaker. I would like to find out who the leaker is so I can make sweet love to that person, because that person is a hero to me. Okay? And if the leaker, a lot of people are saying it could be a conservative, if the leaker is a Republican, and if I get pregnant during our lovemaking, I will joyfully abort our fetus and let them know. I don't know if that answered your question. I probably didn't.
It was a little off topic. It was a little, go ahead, okay. Jen. Take this one.
It's all rumor right now, right?
Yes, so, I mean, here's the thing. Here's my feeling about
that. That's the sum total of that clip. Really funny, right? First of all, celebrating the leak, which undermines the integrity of the institution. And then, of course, laughing about and saying, hey, I'll just kill the baby. Of course, she refers to it as a fetus. That's where we stand right now in the moral decay aspect of our nation. This is a spiritual battle, pure and simple. All right. Don't want to spend too much time on that. But there's also something else going on here, something darker, something even worse. Now, you remember when Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, CoachDaveLive.com, when he and a group of others, and I just happened to be there briefly, but marched around the Supreme Court when the decision, the Obergefell decision on homosexual unions, not marriages, I guess, was made. And I remember Coach Dave Dombauer saying, this is just the beginning, just the start. This is just the nose under the tent. They're going full out toward, you know, essentially pedophilia, normalizing the perversity, including pedophilia. Think about that as you listen to Beetlejuice, Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago. Only 14 or 15 shootings over Mother's Day weekend, so not too bad of a body count in Chicago this weekend. But understand when these people talk and they say things, they mean what they say. So here is Lori Lightfoot, again, also known as Beetlejuice, weighing in on this subject as well. But now, don't forget, she is not only a black female, well, a black person. I say, okay, so, but she also identifies, well, she's got a female partner. Forgive me, I'm not up on the terminology. I'm a dinosaur, okay? All I know is man, woman, husband, wife, male, female, you know, daughter, son, and everything else is just noise. But anyway, listen to what she says. This is 2 minutes out of an 11-minute statement. And this is right at the beginning, the first 2 minutes and 11 seconds. But listen to what she says and take this to heart as, and you can imagine, you know, as you see groups rallied outside, protesting outside of the homes of the Supreme Court justices. Imagine, by the way, if this would be, if the roles were reversed and there would be, let's say, they would be demonstrating in front of Sotomayor, her residence, or whatever. But let's play this clip. Lori Lightfoot, Mayor Beetlejuice of Chicago. And here she is declaring war on Christian conservatives. Go ahead.
I'm Brittany Lewis with Forbes Breaking News. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot responded on Monday to the leaked Supreme Court draft decision that revealed Roe v. Wade could be overturned. The Democratic mayor said, quote, "We are soldiers prepared to fight." Later in the press conference, Lightfoot was asked about accusations that the city is, quote, targeting Arab American-owned gas stations. Lightfoot took, quote, pretty great offense to the question. Listen in for her full response.
So, we are soldiers. We are soldiers prepared to fight. And I think Alderwoman Hairston's words were completely appropriate. I'm joined here today by a room full of fearless leaders who, like me, felt outrage and great disappointment and concern at the draft opinion that was leaked last week that outlaws and bans Roe v. Wade and the right of abortion. I feel angry, but with each passing day, I feel determined and energized. Now, we all know that for the last 50 years, Roe v. Wade has paved the way for people in need of reproductive care to access safe abortions for themselves and, importantly, decide for themselves the circumstances under which they choose to bear children or not. The court's draft decision truly epitomizes the dangers that exist at the intersection of racism, sexism, and homophobia. And make no mistake, this is not and never has been just about abortion. We know that the extremists pushing this agenda, that one pillar of which is coming to fruition, understand that too. To be clear, this is driven by a faction of our country that will stop at nothing to gain power, and especially power over our bodies. That's what this is about.
Okay, power over our bodies. Just briefly, what was the injecticide mandate all about what is that all about? Is that not power over our bodies? Well, okay, just saying. Now, what she said in that first 2 minutes, aside from the declaration of war, the fact that, this first draft opinion bans abortion, her word, in other words, murdering of babies, is totally incorrect. What this does, would do, once it is published, if in fact it remains this, because justices can change their minds, before the only time this is decided is when the final opinion is published and all the justices go on record for and against. Okay, that's the only time. So right now, it's just a first draft opinion, and the justices can and often do it during this period of discussion. They revise the draft. They change wording here and there, phrases here and there. This is not settled. This is still going on. But it does not ban anything. It pushes, as it should, takes it out of the federal venue and pushes it to the states. It's the states now that have to deal with this immorality. Okay? So everything she said, and of course, no one is going to fact check her. No one is going to say, well, that's not true. No. But understand what we're dealing with here. All of this, these talking points, they're... they're false. They are absolutely false. Now, as well, what's not false, though, is the fact that she has, again, declared war on us and saying we're soldiers. But, you know, it's the left. It's the globalist satanic. Yes, this has got the satanic component in it when you're talking about this level of perversity and blood sacrifice. And I say that knowing how really overstating that sounds. But it is just that. But she's not overstating the fact that, yeah, we're soldiers here. And they're going to fight. This is a hill they want to die on. Okay? And here's the other thing. She accuses us, the Christian conservatives, of not stopping here. Well, they didn't stop at the Obergefell decision. They pushed for the normalization of underage sex. Sex with underage minors. They pushed for teaching of perversity in classrooms and, in fact, are doing it. So it's them that have stretched the limits. But yet they accuse us of the same thing. You know, their statements are basically confessions. All right. But the big story here. Really, at the end of the day, the big story here is the fact that this leak was made at a time. When was it made? It was made a day before or the day of, I think, the Ohio primary and the primary season. I know Pennsylvania is next week. And, of course, made just in time for the summer of discontent, the summer of rage, to fuel that rage and to create a false narrative. And the false narrative is, of course, that this bans anything. No, this pushes it back to the states. But the fact is, this also has the tendency to do what? To intimidate the justices. Now, do you think they're easily intimidated? I don't know. But do you think that this does any good for the country, this leak? But don't worry, the marshal for the Supreme Court, the marshal, not the U.S. marshal now, the marshal for the Supreme Court, which is a component of the Supreme Court, will investigate. Now, that's kind of like the White House or the usher, essentially, investigating. Do they have power? No, not really. No. So do you think this will be resolved? Do you think that the leaker will be identified and then sanctioned? Now, I'm not sure if any laws were broken on this, but the fact is, there are things like non-disclosure agreements, NDAs, and I'm sure that that law clerk may not be able to survive like a license, a law license, just saying. So there are some things at stake, but I guarantee you there's a book deal and probably a position at MSNBC there for that person. All right, different topic. This is extremely important. One of the most important things that we've talked about. One of the most important things that you may not have heard about. You might just start hearing about it now. How would you like to have a world government through the back door? How about the World Health Assembly? Have you heard about that? The World Health Assembly or the World Health Organization? You've heard of the WHO. Not the group, but the organization. Well, the World Health Assembly is the governing body over the World Health Organization. And they are in charge of the rulemaking and the regulatory powers of the World Health Organization. Well, we are essentially ceding our sovereignty and allowing the World Health Assembly to create a globalist, unified pandemic structure that will subjugate the United States and all Western countries, in fact, all countries, 194 of them, to the whims and wishes of the World Health Organization. There's a clip here that explains this pretty well. And let's go to clip number 3. This is an emergency briefing on the real possibility of world government. Please, please, please pay very close attention to this. I'll have more to say on the other side of this. This is roughly about 2 minutes. Here it is.
Most people are unaware that the United States delegation to the World Health Assembly has submitted amendments that are going to be voted upon from May 22nd to May 28th. And inside those amendments is legal language that would give away not just American sovereignty, but the sovereignty of 193 other nations for a total of 194 to the World Health Organization. The current law makes it such that each country is sovereign and can tell the WHO to shove it if the WHO is trying to declare what they refer to as a public health emergency of international concern. Currently, the WHO is required to get the agreement of all of the countries around the world. The amendments would change that. It would strip away the sovereignty of every nation on earth, hand that sovereignty over to the WHO, and in effect, you would have one world government. Now, we have less than 4 weeks to spread the word. I've put together all of this information. This is not a conspiracy theory. The documents are on the website because they're on the World Health Organization's website. You just got to look at them. You won't believe what you see, but you can see it. You don't have to take my word for it. Go to don'tyoudare.info. That's not .com. It's don'tyoudare.info to learn how our delegates who are going to the World Health Assembly, in my humble opinion, are either about to commit treason, sedition, or at the very least, administrative malfeasance.
There you go. That was James Rogoski. Rogoski, R-O-G-U-S-K-I. And the links to the websites that he mentioned will be at HagmanReport.com in the program description box. Now, there's an image that I want you to see. And for the listening audience, the radio audience, I will go through the points on this because this explains the dates and what exactly is going on And if you want, Eric the Tech, if you want to throw up image slash page one, there it is. Now, let's follow along with this. Again, because most people are unaware of this. Most people have never heard of the international health regulations. I've got to say, I didn't. I take that back. I did, and it was from a previous guest talking about the globalist government, but I digress here. Anyway, the United States has agreed to this IHR, these international health regulations. We agreed to this in 2005. Think about this now. We're going on year 17. These regulations override and supersede the U.S. Constitution. On January 18th of this year, the U.S. submitted a number of amendments. I'm going to be getting into this a little bit more briefly, to the IHR that served to give away even more of our sovereignty and greatly empower the World Health Organization to restrict our health related rights and freedoms. The 75th meeting of the World Health Assembly will be held in Geneva, Switzerland, this coming, well, 2 weeks from now, May 22nd through the 28th. The Assembly will vote on the amendments to the IHR. Now, remember amendments to the IHR. Remember that, okay? Just remember that, because I'm going to be getting back to those. They are very likely to pass and will be enacted into international law unless we, the people, stand up against this attack on our sovereignty. These amendments to the international health regulations do not need to be approved by two-thirds of the U.S. Senate. We have already agreed to obey the IHR by virtue of our membership in the United Nations and the World Health Organization. We've already given away some of our sovereignty. These amendments are designed to confuse the member nations into giving away even more of their sovereignty. In addition to these proposed amendments to the IHR, the WHO has already set up and also set up an intergovernmental negotiating body. The acronym, of course, is INB. That is actively negotiating an international treaty on pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response. The proposed pandemic treaty is separate from and in addition to the proposed amendments to this IHR that was already mentioned. The pandemic treaty does not yet exist. It is being drafted and negotiated right now. Discussions regarding the pandemic treaty are important, but they're also part of a sophisticated diversion to confuse people and get them to ignore the immediate concern, which is the amendments to the IHR being considered by the World Health Assembly this coming May 22nd through 28th. The time to speak out and stand up for our rights, your rights, is right now. So there are three websites listed, well, three hashtags, one website. #DontYouDare, #StopTheIHR, #WeAreSovereign, DontYouDare.info is the website with the information there. And again, the link to that will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. I say that because, look, and there are other websites under the hashtags as well, like DontYouDare.org, I believe, or .info. I'm not sure which, but DontYouDare.info can springboard you to the other websites. And you'll have all the information you need right there. Steve Bannon talked about this, okay, with Michelle Bachmann yesterday or the day before. This is getting some traction. Now, the person behind, I want to say this, the person behind these amendments, remember, there's some amendments here, is a woman by the name of Lois, that's right, Lois, L-O-Y-C-E, Lois Pace. She is an American public health official expert. Oh, I love that term. Serving, it used to be, if you were an expert, you had to be court certified. So if you said, anyway, she served as the director of the Office of Global Affairs within the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. She was executive director of the Global Health Council and member of President-elect I can't say that. Resident Potato, Joe Biden's COVID-19 advisory board. PACE specializes in public health and policy and global health equity, working to promote equitable access to health care around the world. Sounds flowery, doesn't it? Boy, it sounds great. Guess who was present there at event 201? Remember that? Right before the SARS-CoV, the SARS pandemic hit? Yeah, it was Lois Pace. This is the person behind the amendments. This is the person, among others, but this is the person who really drafted these amendments. So if you want to know, too, about Lois Pace, she worked in a number of positions. I guess I don't want to get too deep into this. I'll just say this. She's advocated against the United States withdrawal from the World Health Organization. Remember the discussions back between during the Donald Trump presidency? She expressed concerns that other nations might follow suit during the international crises. Okay, so in April of 2020, when the U.S. first considered pulling their funding of the World Health Organization, this PACE led an open letter to the President Trump to reverse course. And, of course, who signed it? Over 1,000 charities, NGOs, medical experts, and healthcare companies. And everyone with an interest signed this. All right. Now, which brings me to very quickly, I don't have time for a Laura Logan piece about the U.S. Border, but it's in the program notes. It will be in the program notes for today. I just want to segue into this. Big news as well. Nonprofit Watchdog uncovers $350 million in secret payments to Fauci, Collins, and others at the NIH. Don't tell me, okay, I've been an investigator for 35 years. Don't tell me that this is not in part about the money. Always follow the money. This has been reported by Mark Tapscott at the Epoch Times. And an estimated $350 million in undisclosed royalties were paid to the NIH and hundreds of its scientists. Now think about that. Including Francis Collins, Fauci, writes, they're written in the Epoch Times, we estimate that up to $350 million in royalties from third parties were paid to NIH scientists between 2010 and 2020. Now, this is sourced at Open the Books, that website, linked within this article at Epoch Times, which will be at HagmanReport.com. And the first 5 years from 2010 to 2014 constitute 40% of the total. And it's interesting, the timing, if you look at the timing of this, the development of these and the perversion of the viruses, the tweaking of these viruses, naturally occurring to make them more more infective into humans. Man, there it is right there. During that time period. Now, Collins resigned as NIH director in December 2021 after 12 years of leading the world's largest public health agency. Fauci's been there forever at the NIAID. And of course, this article goes on to really explain that, hey, this money was out there for the taking for a lot of people associated with NIH and NIAID. And the Associated Press reported on the NIH royalty payments back in 2005. Interestingly enough, 2005 was the year that the WHO, that we signed on to the WHO, right, for the this World Health Assembly deal, okay, that I referenced earlier. But 918 scientists, Each year they were receiving approximately $9 million in total, in the aggregate, on average, with each scientist receiving a little bit shy of $10,000. But today the numbers are a lot bigger, with the U.S. still in a declared national health emergency. And I should add this. When you talk about emergencies, national emergencies, please understand the United States right now is still encumbered by 42 national emergencies, going all the way back to the Iran hostage crisis of 1979. That was never lifted, so you got 40. But anyway, this translates into money into the pockets of scientists. So what we have here are scientists, doctors like Fauci and Collins in these organizations getting money. And the fact that this pandemic exists and plandemic exists, right? Well, that means more money in their pockets. So it's money driven in addition to, I would say, in addition to the genocidal aspect of this in the injecticide shots. All right. How's that? How are them apples? Right? So I'm telling you right now, we are in a world of trouble coming from all sides. And by the way, going back to the SCOTUS, the nonsense taking place in front of the homes, it is illegal. And the governor of Virginia, Youngkin, has done nothing. Okay, it is illegal to protest in residential areas in Virginia. All right. Youngkin has done nothing to stop what is taking place in front of at least one, if not two, of the homes of the justices. And of course, he's a Republican, right? As if that makes a difference. All right. Just wanted to point that out as well. I also want to point one last thing out here as well with respect to the SARS virus that was tweaked in a laboratory at Wuhan and was leaked from a laboratory at Wuhan and by the Communist Chinese Party with the help of Fauci, Collins, Daszak, Peter Daszak of Echo Health Alliance and others. All right. This was planned out as delineated in Event 201. I also want to point out that right now what we're seeing is an increase in those who have received the injecticide, especially the younger people, unidentified strains of hepatitis in younger children, as well as a higher rate of infection by the SARS virus in adults. We have seen an additional 90,000, as I mentioned before, 90,000 pages of Pfizer documentation dropped at the insistence of, you know, a judicial mandate, judicial order. And a lot of that information is pretty damaging to the narratives that we've been led to or told to believe. And, of course, that leads into the disinformation, Ministry of Disinformation, or what they want to call the Disinformation Governance Board led by Nina Jankovic, yeah. Okay. And of course, the her assistant, which is just as bad, her associate director, and by the way, the secretary of DHS, saying, you know what, everything is fine. All right. We have a lot to fight against, and the walls are coming, closing in. Let's not forget about the fact that diesel prices are going up, and this is a direct result of direct result of Joe Biden and the Obama influence into the Biden regime. And this, of course, is going to have a very, very serious effect, not just on inflation, but job numbers, you know, the energy sector job numbers. And, of course, the fact that we're really going to see a lot of shortages in the food supply as well. So we are in a fight for our lives worldwide, but especially here in the United States, given the fact that the enemy is within. But you know who's not an enemy? If you do online shopping, I got to tell you something. All right. My wife bought this happened last week. She bought one of these shark vacuums for the stairs. It's like 3 pounds, right? And she was looking all over the internet and finally found a refurbished one. She loves to shop and save money. In addition, so she has Honey, Join Honey. If you go to joinhoney.com/Agman, she has the Honey installed on her Apple tablet, right? And she was so excited because not only did she save money from it being refurbished, but she saved money as the Honey box dropped down and put its coupon code in there for the best price she could find. I mean, any less, they would be paying her to buy this. So today's episode, I should mention, is sponsored by Honey. And if you feel the same way about online shopping as my wife does, this is something you need, and you need it now. I'm telling you, thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. That's right, it's gone. Thing of the past. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds right to your cart. Oh, there's little effort, no effort. They do all the work and heavy lifting. It's great. So imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite sites when you check out, the Honey button drops down, and all you have to do is click apply coupons. Hey, is that hard? I can do it. You can do it too. Wait a few seconds as Honey searches and scours for coupons I can find for that site. If Honey finds a working coupon, you'll watch the prices drop. Now, it saved us, as I told you, it saved us, my wife, $10 on the Shark vacuum, 3-pound handheld thing. It's great. Again, any more, and they'd be paying her to buy the vacuum. And it was fabulous. And we've saved money on meals delivered to the office and such. So it's actually fun to use. And did you know Honey even offers cash back at thousands of stores? It's like earning cash rewards just for shopping. So if you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. I'd never recommend it's something I don't use. Get Honey for free at joinhoney. That's joinhoney.com/Hagman. H-A-G-M-A-N-N. That's joinhoney.com/Hagman. You'll thank me later. As I always say, you'll be glad you did. Now, Stan Dale from standale.com. You know something? I saw this in the... We're still waiting for him? Okay, that's fine. I saw something, and I don't know how many people saw this. There was a solar flare. As a matter of fact, I was checking the local weather, and I got this alert. And it was like a box in the side. And it said, solar flare, beware. It rhymed. And it talked about, you know, potential damage, potential communication outages and such. And I thought, my goodness, you know, what a good time for Stan Dale to be on and talking about the activity of the sun. This is something that we have to really think about, all right? Because the sun is acting weird. And I've got to tell you, I believe it's biblical in nature. Before we bring Stan on, I do want to mention too, and I want to thank all of you who support this broadcast, because I don't know how long we're going to be able to broadcast. I really don't. With the Ministry of Truth looking over our shoulder, constantly dialing our office number and asking for Eric the Tech to patch him through into the studio. I'm kidding, of course. But I want to thank those people who support this broadcast, because to me, you're supporting really the truth. And among those who support this broadcast are just a handful, just a small group of corporate sponsors. And our fine friends at Lightstream are one of them. So Lightstream is good, because have you seen the charts about the credit card rates and about the interest rates rising on debt servicing? Have you seen the recent charts? Oh, goodness. Well, guess what? It can be frustrating when you're trying to pay down your credit cards and you're just getting hammered all the time by high interest rates. And it's like you're spinning your tires. It's frustrating. So if you're tired of paying high interest rates on your credit card debt, you've got to check out Lightstream. You know, right now, I mean, the credit card debt interest rates could be, what, 20, 30 even% even higher? Stop overpaying. Take control of your finances with Lightstream. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a great rate. and that's just what they give you. Loans range from $5,000 to $100,000. You can roll your cards into one low payment at a fixed rate as low as 5.73% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. Man, that's almost unheard of. I love it. It's way lower than most credit cards. If you've got a lot of credit card debt that's been hanging around for a while, you might feel stuck with those high interest rates. Well, now you got it. Lightstream.com/Hagman. There's your answer. So apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. Go to lightstream.com/Hagman, LIGHTSTREAM, lightstream.com/Hagman. Remember, two N's on Hagman. This is subject to credit approval. Rates range from 5.73% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. And one more time, you'll be glad you did and you'll thank me later. I love that. All right. So do we have Stan? We don't have Stan. Stan's MIA. Stan, if you're listening, if you can hear me, knock. If you're being held hostage, knock three times or blink twice. All right, we're going to wait for Stan. It could very well be an issue. I don't know. But having said all of that, look, we've got a lot of things going on. Then I'll tell you, while we're waiting for Stan, can we address the U.S. border with a video, or do we have to? Okay, let's do this. I wanted to do this yesterday. I wanted to do this early in the first segment, but let's do this right now. Lara Logan, good friend of the program, friend of mine. In fact, she was on with, I don't know how many weeks ago or months ago. Oh, Stan is popping in? All right, I'll tell you what. Then let's just do this real quick. We can't really do this because that's a pretty lengthy clip. This clip will be, this video clip with Lara Logan, and she was on with Steve Bannon. She really gets into the problem at the southern border, the fact that you've got money going over to Ukraine, all right, some $40 billion on top of all the money we already sent, and you've got nothing going to fight the war at the southern border of the United States. They're just killing our country. They're attacking our country. You've got the worst of the worst. And people say, well, now, you know what? You've got a lot of good people coming through. Sure, you might have, you know, children and women coming through. But a lot are criminals. Right now, 42 right now, today, 42 terrorists are loose in the United States. Individuals that came across the southern border, 42 of them, that are on the terrorist watch list. Do we know where they are? No. We may know where some are, but is anything being done? No. Are they being deported? No. Does that make you feel good? Especially if you buy the narrative that 19 hijackers on 9/11/01 took down the towers. If you buy that narrative, then, hey, if 19 or 20, remember the 20th hijacker, right? Well, then you should be twice as concerned, right? The clip will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Make sure to watch that, Lara Logan. And the reason being, too, I want to mention this. Tomorrow, we will not be having a program tomorrow. We have some field work to do tomorrow. And that field work does consist of helping in an operation to save the children. And that's all I'm going to say, okay, right now. Hopefully on Thursday we'll have something better to tell you, more to tell you. With me right now, Stan Dale from standale.com. And as I was saying before he came on, man, I saw that when I was looking at the weather, seeing about the weather and what it was going to be like today. A big thing came up and said, hey, watch the sun. There's some sun activity that could knock out some communications. Which brings me to EMP Shield, EMPShield.com. Promo code Hagman, $50 off your purchase of one. Hey, and you get extra credit and multiple dollars off for bulk orders, more than three or more. But you need an EMP shield, especially right now with the sun acting up, the fact that we are threatened by potential EMP attacks. Well, the answer is, and I like solutions. I don't like just talking about problems. I like solutions. So the answer is EMP shield. Go to EMPshield.com. Use promo code Hagman and make sure your house, your business, your car, your boat, your generator, your mother-in-law, whatever you got to attach it to, make sure they're protected from EMPs. All right. Stan Dale from standale.com. Great friend of the program and a great man. And just, I want to call him Professor Indiana Jones, really Indiana Jones. How you doing, sir?
Okay. And in a bit of a panic here, we had continuing windstorms here in Pueblo West. Absolutely clobbered a sound card in my main computer. And we had to go switch to solar backups, because it hit the power in and out. It was causing spikes everywhere. Anyway, I apologize for being late today. I just was in a bit of a panic trying to get sound on. So
no worries. Good. So I'm kind of in my mind, I'm thinking you like holding up, something reflective to the sun and like it's got a wire on it to your computer and then never mind. All right.
Well, it's gum and bending wire. I couldn't get a string long enough for us to use cans between here and your office. But
I'm glad you're here now, and I'm going to turn it over to you, whatever you want to talk about. I'm glad you're okay. And those winds, we had a windstorm the other day, and I got to tell you, it took out the electricity. But you know how it goes off and on, off and on, off and on. Boy, that's bad for your equipment. If you don't have protectors and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. It must've been hitting a tree against a line near you or near me. I mean,
Yeah.
It would be on for a bit and then gone again. Yep. It's just,
traffic lights were out. People were acting crazy. They didn't know what to do. I mean, it's amazing when you have traffic lights and, people are like, wow, what do I do? I don't see red. I don't see green. I don't know. It's people lose their minds, but okay. It's to
all
you.
Right, anyway. All right. Having arrived late, how much time will we have this evening?
43 minutes right now.
Oh,
so talk fast.
All right. Well, look, you were talking about EMP shield and the sun and stuff just now, so we might as well hit that now. The sun is really, really in trouble. On our show images page, Eric, let me say, start slide 42. It's a chart, Eric. The current solar sunspot cycle, and it's exceeding the predicted values by over 100%. You click on that and get that up on the screen. This is disconcerting, and certainly the solar scientists that are looking at this stuff are saying they don't know exactly what's causing it. At least that's the official statement, is they don't know what's causing it. But I've been telling people, and a number of us have been studying the sun that are amateurs, there's something wrong with the sun. The surface, the layer of the chromosphere seems to be thinning. It's allowing a lot more stuff to happen and blow out. And right now, early today, they announced that there would be a possibility of a solar flare coming straight at the Earth out of a confused region of the sun. In fact, a reversed chaotic area of the sun, where down in the southern hemisphere, the active regions down there, the polarity of the sunspots go, blah to blah, north to south or south to north. Well, this area reversed right in the middle of the southern hemisphere, which does not bode well for this to be able to happen. I want to look at slide 38 now, Eric, if we can get there. There's an X-class flare, it said earlier today. The source is mixed up sunspot AR3006, described below. And that's in the space weather thing. The mixture of magnetic polarities makes this sunspot interesting and dangerous. When opposite polarities bump together, it can light the fuse of a magnetic reconnection, the explosive power source of solar flares. If it flares today, and so far I haven't seen that, maybe later tonight, it will be geo-effective. In other words, it's aimed at us. It's directly facing the Earth. Now click on the picture. And you've got it there. It's it's a very large picture. I made it large so that you could zoom in on the little yellow square. You can click on that and see that. And this is just, you know, normally if you look at where the plus sign is, the blue one in the lower left, and it goes up to the yellow one, that, you know, a minus sign, in the middle of that is a blue on the right side of a yellow area. So the polarity of this thing reversed. And when you have, you know, these kind of magnetic turbulences with reverse polarity bumping against each other, it does not bode well for stability in that area. And as I said, the sun is unstable down. In my amateur, you know, honest opinion, I'll preface it with that. But go over to slide 39, the picture of that. And that's just a normal picture in this 193 angstrom picture that we normally use. Look at these dark areas and filaments across the surface of the sun. In the upper left is a dark area, which would probably be a coronal hole coming around emitting extra solar wind and stuff at us. And facing us right down at the bottom is the area that's, you know, potentially going to put a flare in our direction. If we make it through another 24 hours before that happens, then it will probably be a glancing blow instead of a direct hit on the planet and on our communications and satellites and power. You know, it's not a coronal mass ejection, but it's a flare, which can be pretty nasty. But the sun, if you look at this snake-like things, you know, dark filaments up the top, these are areas of solar turbulence, like raised areas on the sun rather than a coronal hole. These are raised areas of turbulence on the sun. So you've got these turbulent areas in the northern hemisphere, and then you've got these areas that are actually producing flares and potentially CMEs in the southern hemisphere. And this is a relatively quiet phase of the sun. Wait 7 days, and it's going to be even more surprising. And look at slide... Eric, go us over to slide 45. This is an interesting thing. Slide 45 is showing the X-ray flux coming from the sun at us. And it's 1 week of it from May 4th to the 11th, because it's the 11th over in London already. The plots here are showing bursts of X-ray energy in, you know, our direction. And you'll notice that on May 4th, we had the same kind of burst as we had earlier today. And ours earlier today was greater than the one on May the 4th. These are part of what we use to determine the irradiance factor, how much luminance is coming from the sun. And it's the luminance, you know, the output, total output of the sun in the UV spectrum, and what they call the quad spectrum, is increasing, and it's having spikes that are pretty impressive. These usually attend active regions facing, you know, the Earth or close to the Earth direction. Watch the sun. Boy, just wow. Look at slide 40 now. This shows you those brown areas that I was talking about a couple slides ago, those raised areas where you see these magnetic fields coming out of them. But what is interesting about this one is these magnetic lines coming out from the northern hemisphere to the southern hemisphere, they're joining. They're reaching across the equator, and they are linked. This bothers me a great deal. So, you know, when Doug says, look at your EMP shields, this is a very good idea, urgent idea, actually. Protect your stuff in your house, your electronics, and your house itself. If we do have a coronal mass ejection that produces an EMP pulse that lasts for hours, this can cause fire in your wiring in your house if you don't have it grounded with this EMP shield to take everything down to ground rather than let it get in your house and cause fires. It's very urgent, and I wouldn't bother you and beat you over the head with this, except it is urgent. And if you look at slide 37 on your own time, you don't have to do it now, but slide 37 is animation showing the lower left-hand quadrant of the sun and a flare as it occurred there. Very active. It's spectacular. But anyway, look at slide 41 currently on the sun, on the heliograph, which shows us two-thirds of the sun. we're in the middle at zero latitude or longitude, rather. The activity that's occurring at zero longitude is one where the flare is occurring down toward the bottom part of the picture, that bright area. But look to the left of it. 7 days approaching us is a very bright active region in the southern hemisphere, and a not so bright yet, but a split area in the northern hemisphere. So this is your 7 to 8 day warning that something else may be approaching us. Wow.
Yeah. Will I still be able to watch reruns of Knott's Landing this weekend then, or no? I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Wow. Yeah. That's we haven't seen that before, that level of unsettling, have we?
No, I haven't. We normally get active regions that, circling around the sun during a very active period, a high peak of a sunspot cycle. And two or three cycles ago, you were able to see some pretty impressive active regions blowing off flares and everything. But the fact that a reverse magnetic field occurred down in the southern hemisphere, right in the middle of an active region, is concerning. I don't think I've ever seen that. And of course, I'm not the expert, but I do try to think logically about what I'm seeing and what I have seen, and this does impress. Anyway,
okay, wow.
Okay, let's see. Let's go priorities here. Okay, on weather still, slide to 44. They're thinking about changing the wind scale, the Saffir wind scale for hurricanes, cyclones. Instead, we used to have 5 levels of wind. And now, then, as you and I have seen, Doug, in recent days, we've been having excessively strong gusts of wind all day long. This, 50-mile-an-hour gusts and stuff hitting us. And they're now saying, well, we need to go above 185 miles an hour. Let's make it a Category 6 because things are getting worse. And this is the first time this has happened in recorded history. They know something is coming if they're going to change the scale now. If you just read the article there, the weather is a drought. I mean, right now we were out earlier today planting trees and stuff and repairing walls, water walls around the wells of these smaller plants, and very hot and dry. We have all kinds of animals, getting into our property after the greens and stuff and the water that we have here because, it's not out there in the bush where they don't live, to the north of us. And the Colorado River is at threat in the supply of it. The Lake Mead and things like that, the water levels are so low, you can see the primary like aquifer ducts, the ports for the water to come in.
You can find dead bodies in Lake Mead, which is kind of a plus, but okay.
Yeah, it is a plus. Some mafia guy bit the dust there in a 40-gallon drum or something with cement overshoes. Yeah.
But no, I don't mean to make light of that. I mean, it's, I remember being out in Lake Mead in 1991, and when I went around Lake Mead, you could see where the water level was, and then compared to pictures of today, my goodness, or even 5 years ago, it's just incredibly down. It's amazing.
Well, it gets to a point, the river is, and tributaries now supplying the water to Lake Mead and to others that are generating power. We're very close to the point where we cannot recover the flow of the rivers that feed that, the streams that feed it in the rivers. If it gets below a certain point, it is unrecoverable unless you can dump, gazillions of gallons of water and have massive thunderstorms all at once. You're not going to be able to recover that thing which supplies power to, 20 million people or whatever in the West. Dad's mad, God is really unhappy with the United States, I am sure. We're the modern Babylon, and there's abortion stuff and all the other crazy left-wing stuff that's happening. We're inheriting the wrath of God at the moment. I can see it in the weather and in the sun. anyway, it's
biblical.
A week.
Yeah.
Wow. I have been sidetracked with all this stuff, trying to put charts together and look at potentials. It's a good time. It's an excellent time for you to prepare, with extra food and water. I'm not having to tell you that. The government's telling you that. When the government tells you that, you know that they can no longer hide what's coming. So they're trying to make themselves look good by saying, look, we told you to prepare. Well, Holly and I have been telling you to prepare for years, but now it's intense. It's urgent that you be able to survive without power and possibly without water. Another warning I have is if something happens, like an EMP from a Chinese attack or Russian attack, and it hits our power grid, which it will, the gas lines, natural gas that come out to your homes, these are run by little local controllers, various places. If these go down, the pressure in the gas lines in your neighborhood can suddenly spike so high that it'll break free and cause fireballs in neighborhoods. It'll also, if you've got it coming into your house, supplying your stove and refrigerator, whatever runs on natural gas in your home, you need to immediately run out with a wrench and turn off. There's a little switch or a little valve on the stem coming up to your gas meter. Turn that sucker off. Turn it contradictory to the pipe, because if the pressure is allowed to rise inside your house as well and break free there, a fireball will take your house and you.
Yes.
So just wow.
Thanks for mentioning that. So the takeaway from this in part is, if that does happen, make sure to shut your gas off at the main, which would be right before, I believe, your meter. And it's okay.
Yeah.
So please do that. Make sure you know where it is and you're prepared to do that. Back in 78, I was in EMS, I was in a gas explosion, and that's not fun. That is not fun, let me tell you. So,
And these units that control that, the gas pressures, there are also units like this. They're called SCATA units, all of them, SCATA units. Yep. And you can look it up on the internet and see what they do. But these also control voltage regulations in areas as well, which can cause surges in voltage without an EMP. Something can happen to that SCATA unit. If it fails and your voltage peaks, it'll start short-circuiting, because of the high voltage in your power box. Again, a reason for an EMP shield. That'll keep the fire from coming if you have a SCATA failure, and they have failed at times. And if you got terrorists hitting regions, particularly the high value targets of Washington or whatever, then your neighborhood may be at risk of a terrorist attack on the SCATAs. I want to tell you about 50 things at once, and so I apologize for stuttering here, but wow, things are really at threat level, and it's a time to take serious control, if you haven't already, of your resources and defenses of your home and business. Oh, wow. Anyway, that's enough on Terra.
Man, I'll tell you what, I'm a lot of great information, though, for those who want to pay attention. Thank you.
All right. Well, the good thing, the good news is, as you and I both know, is the good Lord, Yeshua, is in charge of all that's happening here, and is trying to help his bride, the church, be delivered from this. And I don't know when that occurs. I personally think it occurs at the beginning of the seven-year tribulation, the signs of which we're seeing now, but it may not happen for 3.5 years into that. The point is, there is good news. He will come and help us and take us out of here before things get to the critical point where the church would just be wiped out entirely. So be encouraged. The good news of the Bible is that the Lord is looking after us and will keep us safe to be lifted up to him. One of the things I remember about Jesus saying was that the modern Babylon, he says, come out of her, my people. He doesn't say, get out of Babylon. He says, come out to him, wherever he is, and he's out there. So whenever that occurs, when he says come out and you hear that voice, you're going to be taken up and away to safety. That's the good news, in my opinion. We won't argue about when it occurs. It is going to occur, but when we could debate for years. A little bit on the Middle East, the Saudis and the Pakistanis. And slide 51. Click on the text. This is an interesting situation in that the Saudis have given $8 billion to the new Pakistani prime minister. Now, this new prime minister is kind of, he doesn't impress me as a strong personality just from looking at him. His name is Shahbaz Sharif, and he's gone cap in hand to the Saudis. Pakistan is in such trouble. We need desperately help, you know, to repair our economy. Well, Imran Khan, the former prime minister, has been accused by this new prime minister and about 150 of the former prime minister's, you know, buddies of graft and terrible mismanagement of money and the country. And so this is an excellent opportunity, which Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia has taken advantage of by loaning him $8 billion, is that it now gives the Saudis access to the nuclear arsenal that Pakistan has to use wherever they're going to use it, Israel, Iran, whatever. So this is a development that is, it has serious implications in the Middle East, and it gives nuclear power to Mohammed bin Salman, one of the candidates for Antichrist, without even having to own them. He can have them launched from Pakistan or any other place. So this is a real development in the power given to Mohammed bin Salman. Do keep your eyes on that. So,
got to watch MBS. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. An interesting development in ground warfare in China. China, slide 46. If you click on the text, it will take you to a page that will allow you to see a video of what they have developed as a swarm, you know, of small or micro flying robots or drones. Now, in the video that's on that page, let me just see how far down it is. In a swarm, it's right at the top, I think. Yeah, it gives you one of the robots is filming itself. If you get to, you're seeing it now. There you go. Now, these things can avoid obstacles like crazy in this bamboo forest and can track people or things, other things, animals, whatever. But looking from the air here, you see it going toward something, and it avoids trees and bushes and everything, and then gets back into formation. And it's got ways to look around corners almost. Look at the guy it's targeting there. And this is from the drones and what they're sending back, what they're targeting. And even when it comes to a block out on the left, that sheet on the left, it's hidden the target. But because of the way this thing is spread out, it can still see it. You know, top side, left. And, yeah. This kind of stuff armed with, explosives, other devices that are kind of unhappy to the recipient of them. And it can fly into places that you just can't stop. I mean, you're surrounded by these nasties. And who has it? Of course, China. We do have such things as swarm control over here as well. Now, I don't know how big the swarms are or the actual robots, but when you see this, it's like watching Star Wars or some sci-fi movie. You can't get away from it. When they put this on you, big troubles. And, China and Russia are planning to come over here and eat our lunch, and this will be helping them. It can target, you know, squads and companies and stuff of ground soldiers and tell the Chinese or the Russians, I'm sure they're sharing technology, where our troops are in a actual confrontation in a battlefield somewhere, whether it be in a city, which has a lot of places for you to hide. But these drones, if they're equipped with infrared and maybe ultrasonic detectors and whatever, you can't hide from them. This is frightening technology. I mean, it's no longer science fiction. This is real stuff headed our way. Anyway.
Man.
Looking at warfare, the Spanish did something a few hundred years ago when the English were trying to take over a port the Spanish had, which was a great trading port. And England wanted it, and Spain had control of it and had built a fort there. So England's not always a good guy, I guess. You know, we'll you've got a fort where we want to be. We're going to take your fort down. So in slide 43, the English were parked offshore for about 2 months of this port, where this Spanish defensive port had this, like, it's not a castle, but it's a fort at the port. And if you look at the picture, click on the picture first. In the article, it says for 2 months, the British parked offshore, and they offshore of this Spanish fort, and they bombarded the heck out of it with cannonballs. The cannonballs would hit the wall wouldn't crack or explode. The cannonballs would just get eaten, just absorbed into the wall. Now, this remained an unknown cause for 200 years at least, you know, before people found out what was causing this magic fort to eat cannonballs and not be broken apart. And if you see in that picture there, if you scan, scroll down to the bottom of it, yeah, what they did find was a very interesting thing. In the left, that kind of orange-looking chunk of sandstone, which you normally build, you know, castles and forts out of, it's very fine-grained. And the glue that holds it together is gluing together huge amounts of surface area because of all the small grains. On the right, that bright kind of yellow thing looks like macaroni and, you know, the fossils and whatever. That is what they built the walls of this fort out of. And it's a kind of sandstone, a different name for it, because it has large chunks of stuff with the glue, you know, that seals them together, much less surface area than in the sandstone on the left. And that allows, when a cannonball to hit it, it doesn't cause fractures to go all through the formation. It just breaks the edges of it and lets the cannonball go in just so deep. And then, you know, there might be some pieces fall in and in the hole that it forms, but it doesn't break the wall apart. It doesn't fracture. It just allows the cannonball to go in and get lodged and locked in. It's a kind of like a flexi bulletproof vest for your cannonballs for this fort. Now, if you go back, Eric, to the text, it tells you more about it the history of it.
And so, for the radio listeners, the image on the left looked like a smushed down hamburger patty. The image on the right looked more like a, what are they, mini wheat without the frosting cereal. In my mind, or Rice Krispie treat almost. But they're okay. So just so people have their mental image in their mind, I don't know if I helped or not.
But. That worked. I'm just looking at the text of the article here. In the year 2015, more than 300 years after the fort was built, a team of material scientists from the University of Florida and the U.S. Army conducted a study of the fort was called Coquina, of its physical properties to understand how it withstood the impact stress. Now, Coquina is what they call that type of sandstone, which is very weak, but very strong when you're having cannons shot at you. And let's see here. Let's talk about the guy that, okay. Now, a student at the University of Florida suggested doing an experiment to investigate Coquina's absorptive properties, this funny kind of sandstone. And they shot small steel balls at these chunks with speeds of 110 to 160 miles per hour, like, you know, a cannonball would do. And they took 200,000 images per second in a high-speed camera to see what happened. This has nothing to do with, you know, the world today. But talking about defensive measures, the Spanish lucked out. I mean, they didn't know it was going to do this. And it took 300 years to figure out why it worked. But anyway, the article does tell you how they go through and did it all and what results they got. And I just found it by accident. I forget where I was looking, and this popped on my screen. I thought, wow, that is so neat. As a physicist, I'm thinking, wow, that's neat. all right.
I like that.
Time remaining, sir?
You got, about 15 minutes, we'll say.
Okay, good stuff then. Good stuff. Let's see here. Right. Slides 49 and 50 cover an issue that is really going to become a real problem. And that's how you, the wind farms, you know, the wind turbines on the left in slide 49, you see a picture of a landfill that has about 870 broken or used turbine blades. And they're made out of a type of fiberglass that's very strong. So it's very difficult. In fact, it was almost not done until recently to be able to recycle, you know, or destroy this stuff. So they went to Wyoming and they started digging pits to bury these things. If you click on the picture, slide 49, Eric, you'll see these damaged blades. And you'll see in about the middle picture there of that page, if you scan down a bit, you'll see a little tractor, that little red dot. There's a tractor putting dirt over these used blades. They figured, well, we can't destroy them. I don't guess you're going to put them into the sea either. So they're going to bury them. And you think, wow, there's got to be a better way. And a Texas company, Global Fiberglass Solutions, claims to be the first U.S. company to develop a method to repurpose discarded turbine blades into useful products. They're going to turn it into little, like, fiberglass pellets. And they can process, you know, 99.9% of a blade and handle about 6,000 to 7,000 blades a year. Now, that's just a one factory. And, as time passes, I'm sure that if the United States holds together long enough, there will be more factories to recycle these things. But you've got to wonder the point of diminishing returns in using these wind farms. It kills birds. It pollutes the environment if you have to bury them all. And the oil that they use. In slide 50, Eric, how much oil does a wind turbine use? At the moment, the average wind farm has 150 turbines. Each wind turbine requires 80 gallons of oil for lubrication. And this isn't vegetable oil. This is a synthetic oil based on crude, 12,000 gallons. Once a year, that oil must be replenished. That's just for one farm. So we're using oil for that. You know, we can't use electricity for that. We got to use oil. It's a lubricant. So wind farms, you know, their usefulness is temporary as far as I'm concerned. And I really think that we ought to go to the T. Henry Murray method of getting atmospheric electricity from the bombardment of the solar wind. And you can use that in stationary power stations, you know, all over the country. You can use it in backyard antenna systems. We need to go to that because it's simply converting oscillations or vibrations in the electric part of our atmosphere from the solar wind particles from the sun hitting it. And that shockwave is now being converted to electricity and will return to the environment as heat from friction, you know, devices you use to use that power. I'm pretty certain that we could design a small folded version of this. It doesn't need an 80-foot long antenna, you know, horizontal, and could attach it to cars and possibly even aircraft to convert, these vibrations, these impacts of the solar wind particles at around 2 to 3 million cycles a second into electricity so that we're using a constant source of energy. Well, it varies in intensity, but it's always there from the sun to give us, you know, electricity and for our appliances and transportation, whatever. So I know how it works. T. Henry Murray knew how it worked. He didn't know where it was coming from, but now I know where it's coming from. And so does my partner, Tim, and we've looked at it. And I am pretty sure we're way behind what the deep state, the one worlders or whatever, have done to develop this as an alternate technology because they want to control that power when they take over the planet. So you have to use it under license from them. And, as I've always said, in physics, there's a formula for power and for energy. And so the flow of energy is true power, you know, ergs or joules per second. When you're using it, that's the flow of energy. And so whether you're controlling that or ways to convert it, the powers that be will have true power when they control our flow of energy. It affects everything, transport, medicine, food, defense, everything is energy in motion, power. So that's your physics lesson for the day. I'm going to make you
the Secretary of the Department of Energy. That would solve a lot of problems.
Well,
but of course, there's no money in that, right? I mean, there's no money in harnessing that energy. They can't meter that, can they?
Well, they can once they take over and they control the devices and distribution of them that you plug into your backyard to use this power.
Okay.
Having a one world government where we have a one world economy and we have one set of laws, et cetera, this is a good idea as long as the person or persons in control of this one world government are reliable, trustworthy, and, you know, infallible. They don't have mental breakdowns or whatever else. So I'm in favor of the one world government by Jesus Christ, by Yeshua.
Yep.
But not by men. You know, we are fallible creatures. And so.
And I am too. And I look forward to that day. Mm. Being part of that.
It's logical. So I can see the logic in it, but it's who runs it. That's a big question. All right. In the Middle East, Jared Kushner, it's slide 55, 56. No, 55, I'm talking on now. Jared Kushner is still dealing with Saudis, with Mohammed bin Salman, his quote-unquote buddy. And he's formed this firm, as I mentioned before, in the Middle East as an investment fund, an equity fund that you can put money into to get money back, etc. He just got a $2 billion investment from MBS, from Mohammed bin Salman. And the interesting part about where that money is going, and remember, two-thirds of it is from Saudi Arabia, it's going to fund some high-tech company startups in Israel. Now, why would Mohammed bin Salman invest in Israel if he's going to destroy Israel at the moment anyway? He wants to get the technology and perhaps, you know, use it in his country or elsewhere. So he is funding the development of the technology in Israel, which is, you know, kind of a question mark. Why? And Kushner, of course, is managing that for him. So it's kind of an under-the-table cooperation between the Saudis and the Israelis. And this is the way the Saudis get around the objections from the 40-some-odd member states of the Arab Union over there about them dealing with what appears to be a help to Israel. Mohammed bin Salman's father, King Salman, in slide 56, it was reported a few days ago, a week or so ago, that King Salman was admitted to hospital for a medical test. And it turns out that it was for a colonoscopy. I won't play with that, but there's certainly an opportunity for jokes there. So he's been ill for some time. And so he goes in for the colonoscopy and they report, well, he's going to stay there for a few days of R&R in the hospital, even though it was just a test, right? If you believe that, well, I can sell you the London Bridge in the middle of the Arizona desert. But he's there and he's in bad shape and they're trying to fix him up and repair him because when he goes, absolute power turns over to Mohammed bin Salman and a lot of people, you know, in the Saudi princedom of all the eligible princes for running the country, they're all kind of worried because once Mohammed bin Salman, the son, when he has absolute power, he'll probably confiscate a lot of the property of the princes that would be potential threats to him in ruling the country, and he'll probably either imprison them or kill them. So watching what happens to King Salman is definitely front page news to every prince, you know, that has any holdings at all in Saudi Arabia. Strangely enough, over in slide 57, the three princes of the United Arab Emirates leaders, it lists their names here. I won't pronounce them. I'll just let it be. But these guys have sent congratulations to King Salman saying, look, great news on good reports from your test and everything. Glad you came out of it. Okay. So they're saying something that hasn't been kind of officially reported in the news until the last day or so, in that the colonoscopy yielded happy results for King Salman. So why are these three princes sucking up to him over from the UAE over to King Salman? I don't know. This they're afraid, I think, to not support him, but I don't know for why, because that's not going to help him survive if they're supporting him, but it's making him look good elsewhere in the Middle East, in the Arab countries. Anyway, that's a development there that's a kind of interest. Again, time check.
About five minutes, sir.
Okay. Slides 52 and 53. They're about the Air Force testing the E-4B, which is a militarized version of the Boeing 747-200. It's kind of like, you know, Air Force One, except it's designed for tactical response and, you know, it's got a briefing room in it and it can house up to 112 people. All of this aimed at directing our military and civilian organizations from, well, political organizations, I guess, or government, from this rather than Air Force One. This is built for tactical evasion and for, you know, directing attacks from all kinds of resources we have against invaders of our country. Now, why are they telling you that, oh, we've got this now? It's a National Airborne Operations Center. You know, it's the key component of the National Military Command System for the President, the Secretary of Defense, and the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Why are they telling us that we've got this? To encourage us that, okay, we got everything under control. Should we get attacked by Russia or China or whoever? Our little flying airplane here has all the technology and stuff to, you know, defend the country. Personally, I don't know that a flying command post at this point is going to be safe. But anyway, with the technology from space, they can track it and zap it with laser impulses and all kinds of stuff the Chinese is developing. But it's good to know that they have been addressing this problem. But I think what we're seeing here is built on a mindset from, you know, the 1950s, you know, duck and cover, the Russians are coming, that kind of stuff. I don't think it's what we need to defend the country. I think they must have an alternate plan. If they don't, we're in trouble.
Mm.
Yeah.
No anyway. Good kind of stuff. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Now, Congress, slide 54, Eric, thinks the Pentagon is not taking UFO reports seriously after latest briefings. Lawmakers on the Senate Intelligence and Armed Services Committees are unimpressed with the classified progress reports on the UFOs they received in a briefing on Monday, according to Politico. The article goes on. When are, august bodies of the Senate, and I guess the House to a degree, but the Senate mainly, when they are saying that the UFO reports should be taken more seriously, maybe they aren't in the loop. I don't know with the deep state, but when they finally come out and publicly say that there's more to this than meets the eye, we want it to be taken more seriously, we're moving ever closer to that moment when the alien elder brothers of space, Satan's people, land or at least come over major cities and say, we're here, we mean you no harm, blah, 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 and set up the technological support for the Antichrist. We're very close to that moment. Mm. And the threat of nuclear weapons in the Middle East and possibly here in the United States and even in Japan, these things are going to force the announcement of Satan's minions being here to save us, save the planet.
The great delusion.
Yeah. Yeah. Just give me when I got 30 seconds to let me know. Slide 47 is a video. Elon Musk, I think, was interviewed in this video as well, showing the techniques they can use with video images, talking images, and they could recreate anybody and make them look younger, older, make them look female instead of male. And that means that technology that they're publicly admitting to would allow the deep state to create an image, a talking image of the New World Order's leader, the Antichrist. Even though he be dead, they can make his voice and body motions and everything talk through this computerized real-time video imagery. And so it means that you can't trust what you see. And that'll be used, I'm sure.
Wow. Okay. Just because you can doesn't mean you should, I guess. But there you go.
Well, it's like avatars. You know, I mean, that's what they are, really. And they show a person in the video in the middle of a room with a green screen or whatever, and he's making motions with his hands, talking, blah, blah, blah. And over on the right, you're seeing the computer imagery real time of someone else saying what he's saying, of course, the hand motions, the eye, everything. But it's not him. I mean, you know, it just,
Don't believe what you see. All right. We're done here.
All righty.
Got about 10 seconds. In 10 seconds, any words of wisdom?
hang on, endure.
But buckle up, it's going to get rough. Stan Dale from standale.com. Make sure you go to standale.com and bookmark his website. Make sure you support Stan and his work. My goodness, so many good things. God bless you, my friend. Thank you so much for fitting all that in. All right. Have a good night. Folks, that'll do it. Until Thursday. Good night.